Welcome to the GBC Sermon Podcast, a weekly podcast from Gymea Baptist Church in Sydney, Australia. I'm Mark Rader, Senior Pastor here at GBC, and I pray that the Holy Spirit will minister to you as you listen to this message today. This week, we interrupt our values series for a special guest. Alan DeMond is the Senior Pastor at New Hope Baptist Church in Melbourne, and is a good friend and mentor of mine. Alan reflects on 2 Chronicles 16:9, "The eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen the hearts of those who are fully committed to Him."
Our Bible reading this morning comes from Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 3, and commencing at verse 14 through to the end of the chapter. "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we all ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen."
Well, thank you for the opportunity to be with you this morning and to share. Mark and I, as he has mentioned, have enjoyed a wonderful season of sharing together in ministry. Sharing together a bit in the academic space, where we have thought about teaching and working with our students, and sharing together in the pastoral space. You have a very thoughtful pastor. You have a very deliberate and intelligent pastor. And every time I spend time with Mark, I come away thinking, gee, he's smart. He's a very capable person with a big heart. Why don't we applaud your pastor this morning? Can we do that? Come on, your mom. I want to invite you to reflect on one verse of Scripture with me this morning, and to reflect on that verse deeply. It comes from 2 Chronicles. "The eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him." It's a beautiful verse. It is a verse that offers us strength and invites us with courage to walk with God. It's a verse that suggests to us there is opportunity in this Christian journey, and there is the privilege to experience God's engagement in ways that are life-changing, community-changing, world-changing. "The eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him." I'd like to take a little time and just reflect on the Lord's eyes, and then reflect on our hearts. The two sort of ideas in this verse from 2 Chronicles chapter 16, 9, that just stirs our thinking. The eyes of the Lord. Eyes are fascinating. When you have a conversation with somebody and you connect eye to eye, you often have a deeper, richer connection. You might understand a little more. And sometimes when you're having a conversation and you lock eyes, you suddenly realize other layers of what's happening. You might suddenly sense this person is worried. You might suddenly experience love and a real connection, or you might actually experience some disconnection as, you know, kind of you lock eyes, you experience more fully. And isn't it weird when you're trying to talk to somebody and they won't look you in the eye? When you're having a conversation and they like deliberately won't make eye contact, happens often with little children who don't want to make eye contact because they know where this is going. And eye contact is something, it's a kind of a responsible thing. It's a sort of an engagement, and it calls us up, and it links. God wants to make eye contact with you. He wants to connect with your heart. He wants to engage with you and offer so much. The eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. Eyes are a window. Eyes can also, you know, have this sense of being watched. And we don't want to just read the first half of the verse and get stuck there. Sometimes people reflect on the idea that God is watching everything I do. And, you know, is that a good thing? Well, it's a question of knowing God's heart and what is His intent and what is He up to. Did some interesting research in a British university on the power of eyes. Even just a cue, even just an image and how we respond to eyes. In the university, there was a little kitchen and the staff would use this kitchen. And somebody had organized things and they had, you know, biscuits in a jar and there was tea and coffee and a little price list. And there was an honesty jar. So you come into the kitchen and you make a cup of tea and you have a couple of biscuits and you put the money in the honesty jar and everything's good. You know, the system cares for, you know, things get paid. What do you think the problem was? People weren't putting money in the honesty jar. So, you know, they'd send out emails, they'd put signs up, they'd do all this stuff. And a few of the researchers in the university saw an opportunity. They said, let's do some research around cues and what prompts. And so they put up a picture each week and would change the picture. And the first week, they put up a picture of flowers, God's creation, beauty, just you know, a really lovely, gentle, settling picture. And then the next week, they put up a picture of eyes. Just eyes staring right out at you. You know, I see you. I see you. Then the next week, they put up a picture again of flowers, the beauty of God's creation, like really lovely, you know, images. And then the next week, they put up eyes again. A different pair of eyes. I see you. I'm watching you. Then when they finished this, 10 weeks they did it. Flowers, eyes, flowers, eyes, flowers, eyes. And they counted the money in the honesty jar each week. And sure enough, at the end of the project, every week there was an image of eyes posted on the wall. The honesty jar had three times as much money in it. I'm watching you. So when the scripture says that the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth, how do you respond to that? What does that mean to you? Because what's interesting about that research is the eyes didn't change their attitudes, didn't change their deep commitments, didn't bring them into a different place. It just kind of shamed. I see you. Come on, honesty jar. Do the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to shame those who aren't getting it quite right? It's not what the scripture says. The eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to honor, to engage, to captivate, to connect, to bless, to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. And so God wants you to return His gaze. He wants you to lock eyes, as it were, to turn your heart to Him and experience His intent. Experience His loving purposes as He watches throughout the earth. To lock eyes with God, to bring our full selves into His presence, and to experience His loving intention for us is the thing that is such a hopeful driver. David understood this verse, the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth, to strengthen those whose hearts fully committed to Him. Listen to what he wrote. This is in many Psalms. I just picked one, Psalm 16. He says, I love you, Lord, my strength. This is the language of a person who has returned God's gaze and has seen something that has moved his life. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I called out to the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and I have been saved from my enemies. This wonderful, poetic, worshipful expression coming from David's heart, because he understands the heart of God. He says, he reached down from on high and took hold of me and drew me out of deep waters. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delights in me. Can you write that kind of poetry? Can you express that kind of story of faith? Can you witness to these truths? This is gospel hope. That the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. He is seeking to engage. And David understood this viscerally and practically and in his own soul and in his own walk, that God would rescue him in trouble and walk with him in the ordinary days of his life. And he could say, he delights in me. That's the posture. That's the posture of a life of devotion and a walk in faith and an experience of God's grace. When you know within that God delights in you. Terrible shame if you just read the first half of the verse, the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth. The eyes of the principal are everywhere in the school. The eyes of the boss are always on you in the business. The eyes of the senior pastor range throughout the church. But to what end? With what purpose? For what intent? With what heart? Ah, he delights in me, says David, of his creator God, that his eyes are loving and good, and you want them to see you, and you want his eyes to connect with your heart and to engage. Paul, writing to the Ephesians in the first chapter, he says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which you have been called. I love that prayer. Great prayer to pray for one another. I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened, that your eyes, your heart eyes, I love Paul's mixed metaphors. Did you know your heart had eyes? The eyes of your heart, the eyes of your inner world, the eyes of your spirit, the eyes of your will would lock eyes with God and you would experience something beautiful that is come to help you. The eyes of God, the eyes of the Lord. Let's talk for a little bit about our hearts. Because the verse says, the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to help those, to serve those, to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Did you just kind of draw breath when I said that verse? And that, fully committed, fully committed. Is that me? I want that to be me. I hope that's me. Am I fully committed? Does God see me as fully committed? What does that mean, that fully committed? I'll tell you what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean you have your act together and you are doing things right all the time. Doesn't mean that, because then you wouldn't need God's help. The whole point of this verse is that you and I have hearts that need help. We so desperately need what God can bring into this world. And not just in some kind of notional sense, but right into our very lives. We need this. We long for this. So commitment doesn't mean I have all my ducks in a row. It doesn't mean I have accomplished all the good things and I am who I need to be. No. Commitment in this context, and the way the phrase is built in Hebrew, means I keep looking to God. It's kind of like what Jesus talks about in the New Testament when he says, I want you to be yoked with me. My head, your head, yoked together. My wisdom, your need, yoked together. My love for the world, your faltering ways, Alan, yoked together, fully committed. The verse sits in the story of Asa the king. He was the king of Judah. And he started his life as a young man doing excellent leadership. He came into his leadership role, he looked at the needs of the nation, and he says, we're going to clean this mess up. He addresses the idolatry, he addresses the low levels of spirituality, and he calls the nation to something good. And Asa's life is in two parts, chapter 15 and 16 of 2 Chronicles. As he starts, it's brilliant, and then he loses the plot. Poor Asa. It's annoying, really, as you're reading it. You want to shout into the text, "Wake up, man!" Because Asa, having begun to follow God and welcome God's strengthening grace and talking with God and walking in this relationship, he gets arrogant. So partway through his journey as the king, he starts to posture, "I'm doing all right here. I'm a pretty good king. Have you read my press recently? Have you seen my statistics? Have you taken a look at the dashboard? We're doing just fine here, and I'm the cause." And so his relationship with God atrophies. It just kind of melts down. And so then he's into a few political circumstances, got to make decisions. He decides to build an alliance with a nation, doesn't pray about it, doesn't ask God. Doesn't even sit before the Lord with the idea. Moves into that, you know, gets some of the temple gold and kind of uses that money to build the alliance. And pretty soon he's got a whole political kind of construct and he's pretty pleased with himself. And a prophet of God comes to his palace and says, "Asa, man, this is foolish what you're doing here. Don't you know that the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. But what you're doing, man, is foolish. And you're going to be at war, and this nation will be at war for the rest of your reign." And then it goes on, and it actually says that Asa got really, really sick. He had a terrible ailment. And he was so stubborn. It says he would not call out to God, no matter how much it hurt him, but only to his physicians. I read that verse, and I think, gee, That's so the culture that we're in, this broken culture. And we are called to be people very different. We're called to be people who live with a connection with our Creator, we interact with God. "The eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts know that they need God, whose hearts keep coming back to saying, 'God, it's a new project, it's a new day, it's a new challenge, I need your help. God, walk with me. I'm calling to you. Lift me out of this mire. Help me answer my children well. Oh my goodness, they've gotten so difficult in these recent years. Help me, God. Let me answer the committee members, the colleagues at work, the friends at church with better answers. Oh my goodness, she pushes my buttons. God, help me. Help me live differently." Always coming back into a conversation, connection, interaction, relationship with God, those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Doesn't mean we've got it all sorted. It doesn't mean we've got it all cleaned up. It means that we know where to go to ask for strength. And Asa's stupid move was to trust God until he felt strong and then take control and ask God to go someplace else in the universe. And just for the record, God's not interested in going someplace else in the universe. He loves you. He delights in you. And his passion is to walk with you. How do we experience this? How do we have this inward reality? How do we know what Paul describes as the incomparably great power of God at work within us who believe? I want that. I don't want to just try to keep making decisions on my own. I don't want to deal with all the stuff of life. I want the incomparably great power of God at work in me as a believer in Jesus. Dallas Willard has done some wonderful writing in the field of spirituality and growth in our lives and spiritual transformation. And he uses a metaphor. He thinks about and describes our human hearts, our spirit, our will, as the CEO of your person, of my person. Imagine for just a moment there is a company. It's called Allen Incorporated. And Allen Incorporated has a board of directors. And the CEO of that board of directors is my heart, my will, my human spirit. You see, here's a beautiful thing, an amazing miracle in the universe. You as a human being have a human spirit at the center of your person. Now, as I speak this out, I realize I am bucking the trend of our secular culture, of the narrative that prevails in our day, which says you are a chemical happening, which by chance, you know, emerged to this moment, and look at you, and aren't you amazing, as cause and effect occurs, and the chemicals swirl within you, and that's what you are. The Christian gospel, the Hebrew and Christian story, says something very different. It says, no, you are a physical being with a human spirit that God formed out of clay and then breathed his breath, and Adam became a living being, a living soul, the scriptures say. And that's what you are. You're not just a chemical reaction. You're not just the consequence of many random happenings. You are the delight of the Creator's heart, and you possess within you a human spirit, and the Holy Spirit of the living God can connect with your human spirit, your heart, your will, your CEO, and make a difference. God wants to connect with you at that place, that beautiful, mysterious, inner place. And we all know the truth of this at some level. I have to be more than just, you know, the physical systems and the chemical reactions. And the scriptures say, yes, you're so much more. You're created in God's image. You have the very breath of God, the very spirit of God at the heart of who you are. And this is from here, there is the possibility to have executive authority over your life. Now, here's the problem. I want to come and visit your inner world, and there's a board meeting happening in Put Your Name in the Blank Incorporated, in Allen Incorporated. We're having a board meeting, and the CEO, my heart, my will, my human spirit, is at the head of the table, responsible to run this thing. How many of you are leaders, CEOs, bosses? You know that you don't have as much power as most people think you do. To actually have executive CEO power is a tricky, tricky business. So we're at the board meeting in the inner regions of your being, and your heart is there trying to direct the meeting. But the vice president of thinking keeps interjecting with all kinds of ideas and answers and random possibilities and shouting down your will. And then the vice president of emotions speaks up. Oh my goodness, this spoiled child that is at the boardroom table, always having an interjection into the mayhem that is occurring. And then there's your vice president of your body that seems to run routines and run habits. And isn't it strange? Have you felt it? How the thoughts and emotions almost embody themselves. It's like they get into your body, and there are habits, and it seems almost autopilot. It's like it gets into your members. Paul talked about this, Romans 7. Try to do the good thing, I rest, and then I stumble, and oh my goodness, wretched man that I am. And then there's your vice president of social connections. All the conversations and narratives and tapes that run in your mind, all the stuff from childhood onward, all the people who've influenced you, all the people who are influencing you now, all those opinions and narratives that roll into your head. Vice president of social connections has a lot to say at every board meeting. The poor CEO of Allen Inc. puts his head on the table in frustration. The creator of the universe sees this and says, I want to help you. I want to give you strength and capacity. I want to aid you. What I describe is the context of a broken world. This is brokenness. This is human brokenness. This is you know, what we all experience in varying degrees, in varying ways, and I want to do this, but I don't know, habits drive, and thought patterns, and feelings, and this mayhem is what the scriptures describe as people being lost, and people being trapped in the principalities and forces and powers of this world, and so desperately needing help and breakthrough and salvation. Is there any hope? I mean, is this what we are stuck with? And so the Son of the Creator of the universe says, I can help. I will go and live among them. I will live among them as a human being. I will model how this should be done. I will have habits and a rule of life and an ancient discipline, and I will embed that, and I'll show them how this is done. And then I will take my Holy Spirit and I will put it in them. In fact, I will move into their hearts and live within them and help them do this. You know what your heart needs? It needs a mentor. It needs a mentor. Your heart needs someone to sit right there. Your will, your human spirit needs a guide. Let me tell you what's supposed to happen. Your heart is supposed to be, your human will, your inner spirit is supposed to be full of wisdom. Full of wisdom. The wisdom of God. The wisdom of how this world is made and how things work. As if the laws of God were written on your heart. That's what's supposed to be. And your heart settled and strengthened, and a great CEO speaks to the vice president of thinking and says, right, enough with that random zigzag train of thought. Here's the wisdom of God. And your heart and your thinking speak to your emotions and say, settle down, little child. No, you can't have your way. Stop reacting like that. Don't let everything push your buttons. You know, oh, you said something to me. Oh, I'm offended now. I'm going to react. No, we need something different. What's supposed to happen is that heart and thought are supposed to arrest random crazy emotion. I don't want to get rid of my emotions. I need them. I love the feelings of life. I just need to get rid of all the unhealthy emotions, for goodness sake. And healthy emotions driving what's healthy. And then my very body, it can respond. You know, if this inward stuff is settled and healthy and going in the right direction, and my body is building habits that are the right habits and responses, then when I interact with you as a human being, you are going to experience love. You're going to experience connection. You're going to experience something beautiful. And if we get a bunch of people doing this together and form communities, well, why don't we call them churches? We could change the world. This is what's supposed to be. And so Jesus, the Son of God, says, I will mentor you. Would you welcome him in? Would you let his presence and his power shape you and lead you and change you? He can mentor you. He can tell you how to think differently. He can impress in mysterious ways, because he doesn't actually have to kind of sit across the table from you and talk to you like all the rest of us do. The Holy Spirit of the living God can come straight to the heart of who you are. Don't you think that's a mysterious, beautiful, wonderful thought? I can have a better voice in this mayhem in my life. I can have direction from the Creator within. Give me a slice of that. That is an exciting prospect. So we're going to need to do the work. We're going to need to lean in and study Jesus' life and follow his ways and embrace his habits and welcome his spirit and ask him to live at the center of our person and lead us and change us. He can help us with our feelings. Human feelings are some of the most, oh my goodness, have you ever just wished you could stand up and shout out to the culture around you, you know, stop it. The human feelings drive us crazy. Ever watch, think about Jesus' feelings? That kind of emotive side? He had all the emotions that human beings have. He had them all. Don't think that Jesus muted his feelings. Not at all. What you see in Jesus' life is ordered emotions. And that's what we long for. Jesus got frustrated with his disciples. Thick-headed blokes. You know, he says to them, how can you have so little faith when you have seen so much, when we have walked together? Come on, guys. He got angry at the recalcitrant attitude of political leaders and the thoughtless, you know, selfishness of religious leaders, whether Roman or Jewish. And he called them out. And he was stirred with anger and went into the temple and said, enough is enough. But here's what you notice about Jesus. He had the full range of human emotion. If you've ever felt it, Jesus has felt it. He is a sympathetic Savior who knows the experiences of our lives. He's not some random. He actually has, he's got the human being journey down. That's why he's a great mentor. He's been there. If you felt it, he's been there. But if you look at Jesus' life, what you will see is that his emotions are ordered. No matter what human emotion he has, he comes back immediately to love, joy, and peace. This is the kingdom of God. These are the emotions that always reset. So Jesus gets frustrated at his disciples, and he speaks it out, and there's that moment. But what you don't see in Jesus' life is him having a frustrating day. You don't see him sitting down next to the woman at the well saying, get me some water, for goodness sake, these disciples are driving me crazy. He doesn't spill on other people. I mean, that is remarkable. I want to be that person. I want to live that way. I want to be that kind of influence to my children, to my colleagues, to my neighbors. That kind of living is what our world needs. And so to have help, in the inner regions of my world, to have a mentor who is the very Son of God, having walked in human flesh and knowing in amazing ways what I need to know, living in me, helping me. This is beautiful. This is the gospel. This is the gift of God. And this is what we are invited to welcome and to experience. Let me go back to our text and just read to you from Ephesians chapter 3. Here's Paul. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. The eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. He says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. I mean, isn't that a big vision? Isn't that a big prayer? This is the church. This is what we are called to. This is hope. This is a new heaven and a new earth. Get on board. Buy in. The eyes of the Lord are ranging throughout the earth. Look up. Connect. Discover that this Creator God loves you with a deep, wide, awesome love. He delights in you and wants to enter into your experience in the most incredible ways and bring hope and bring life and bring change and make us into the people that he has called us to be. Years ago, I worshiped in a church in New Jersey for a couple of summers, and I land with this. I was studying there, and there was an African-American church filled with the most passionate, beautiful people, and I worshiped there over several months, over a couple of different years as I went and studied. There were two white people in the church. I was one of them. Everybody else was black. And they worshiped for 3 hours with all kinds of passion and unique cultural expression. And it was just a lively place. I went one Sunday, and to my surprise, a lot of the women in the church were dressed in white. And I knew this was significant, and I quickly learned that it was Mission Sunday. And the women who were leaders of the mission movement in the church wore white hats, white dresses, white shoes, and white gloves. So they stood out. We had a beautiful service led by these women with all kinds of different elements, and then there was a prayer time. And I forget her name, we'll call her Sister Ella, was called upon to pray, and Sister Ella was sitting right next to me. And we were all invited to stand and join hands. Sister Ella stood, and she's like twice my height. She took my hand, and she had a a firm grip. And she began to pray. And it was moving and beautiful to be a part of this mission service and to hear this mission prayer. And she used this line. She said, "Lord, get a hold of our hearts." And she sort of prayed that theme out and prayed for different mission, you know, people and circumstances in the world and things in our lives. And then she'd repeat it, "Lord, get a hold of our hearts." And she'd pray for some more things. And it was just beautiful and moving. And with each iteration, she'd squeeze my hand more. And we were all in it together. And then she landed her prayer, "Lord, get a hold of our hearts," she prayed. "Because our hearts, they be connected to our heads. And Lord, our heads, they be connected to our hands. And when our hands be doing your work in the world, everything gonna be all right. Lord, get a hold of our hearts." And that is my prayer for all of us. This is the gospel. This is the hope of the world. Let's pray together. Loving Father, we welcome the eyes of the Lord. We have come to know that you do not search us out to shame us. You search us out to strengthen us. You delight in your children. So Lord, today help us with courage and with simplicity and with childlike faith to look to you, to lock eyes with you, to welcome your gaze, to welcome your search within our hearts, and to be humble and bring our brokenness to you so that you can enter into our lives, lift us out of the depths, set us in a wide and spacious place, and serve your mission through your children whom you delight. Lord, we pray that you would take hold of our hearts. We pray that you would mentor our hearts through Jesus Christ, our Savior. We are so thankful for your gift of forgiveness that gives us freshness as we start the day. So thankful for the power of your Holy Spirit, the gift promised to come and indwell, and for the knowledge that Jesus himself would live in our hearts and mentor us, lead us, empower us. Make of your church people who experience the fullness of God, and make of your church worldwide a witness to your love and hope as we are called to be. This we pray in the wonderful name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.
Does your heart need a mentor? Is there a chaos at the board table of your inner life? Jesus stands ready to strengthen your heart so that you are more able to live out your commitment to follow him. So make eye contact with him, see the delight in his eyes, and take up his invitation. Is there someone you know who really needs to hear this message too? Why not share it with them and see what God does through that? And remember, you can follow us on Facebook or visit our website at guymeabaptist.org.au. God bless.